Good morning. How are we today? Last week, we started a series called The Path to the Cross. Last week, I talked about the way of a servant. And then I got to looking at it and looking, and I don't know why. I kind of put them a little backwards, I think. But I kind of am going in scripture order, so... You know, last week I talked about we had to be a servant first. And so that's why I started where I did. This week, I want to talk about the way. Just plain and simple, the way. We're going to look at John chapter 14 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. We will flip around a little bit. But first and foremost, you know, the Word of God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. It speaks into our hearts. And I think that's why in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul, actually the whole entirety of Romans chapter 5, I think we see how faith works. But Romans 5, 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to start kind of looking at that verse a little bit today, but it's not where we're spending our time. But it's kind of interesting how that is the guidance that Paul was given to say there. So as we look at this, John chapter 14, starting in verse 1, I want you to be aware and open to understand where we are as Christians in this. But it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive to you myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. Lord God, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity just to see you move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray you'd be over this service, that you would speak through me and just help us to give you the glory in all things. And we thank you, and we lift it all up before you now in the holy, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we have this scripture. We have Jesus talking about going to heaven, basically. I mean, he's talking about the great hope that we all have. And over the last couple of weeks, we've heard a lot about heaven, especially if you had the opportunity to watch Billy Graham's funeral service. It was absolutely beautiful. And there was a lot of reference to heaven. There was a whole lot of reference to what was to come. And as we look at that and we think about that, you know, there's a joy in death for those who have been faithful to the end. You know, we live our lives as Christians with the hope of heaven. And when someone passes away and we know that their life has been lived within the Lord, we can have that hope and that opportunity to hope it within ourselves when we go, that we will see and experience heaven the way that it's described in the scripture. And Jesus says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you home with me." If we look at a different translation there, he says, "home with me." Now, there's a reference there that many times we have overlooked within the scripture. I want to read that out of a different translation just real quickly for those words. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you home with me so that you will be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Before I get too deep into this, how many of you remember some of the younger ones might not, and you guys may have also seen them, but what were the names? Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, some of these Disney movies, and, you know, I think, I don't know if they were all Disney, but Homeward Bound was always one of my favorites as a kid. You've got these, what was it, two dogs and a cat traveling through the wilderness, trying to find their way home. And, okay, first of all, they're dogs and a cat. They can't open up a map. They can't find their way by using a GPS. They're not following their way in that regard. So what we see is that, you know, they're traveling hundreds of miles through mountains and forests, and they're trying to get home. You know, that drive to get home takes them through many obstacles. Now, we can sit back and we can think about the movie and we can smile and we can ooh and ah and talk about how beautiful it was to see a cat work with two dogs. All I can ever remember was, I think Milo and Otis was a similar type movie, but all I can ever remember was dogs rule and cats drool, or cats rule and dogs drool. That line got quoted over and over and over again. But the thing is, how beautiful was that story? Because what you realize is they are finding their way home. And, you know, it's funny because we think about that, but that actually happens. I mean, I've heard stories of dogs who were given to new owners that would travel 200-300 miles with them. And that dog found its way back to the owners. I know of at least two families that happened with here in Avery County. Years ago, I think somebody had given away, I believe it was a collie, and about 2 weeks later, it shows up at their doorstep, and they called the owners, and they said, well, he's been missing for like 2 weeks. It's like, well, he's here, and nobody knew how. Nobody knew how this dog found its way back home, but it did. It's like there's this thing, you know, and they go through the obstacles and dangers. If we look at the movie, they go over hunger, rushing mountain streams, bears, porcupines, and no, they're not really talking, but you can hear them talking because it's a movie. But the reality of it is that what makes the journey so incredible is they didn't have a path to follow. They had to find their way. No one to tell them which way to go, no one to take them on the right path, yet in the end, they did find the way. And I think if we look at what Jesus is saying here, he's basically saying the same thing to us. He's saying the same thing to the disciples here. He's saying, you know the way to go. You know the way home is essentially what Jesus is saying. That's why I like it out of that other translation. It's like, you know the way home. So if we look at it that way and we think about it, you know, the words that Jesus spoke, all of these words that we shared last week and the words this week are on the night that Jesus was betrayed. These are on the same night that Jesus knows he's leaving the disciples. We don't need to wander around aimlessly in the wilderness of life. We don't need to face the dangers alone. He's basically letting them know that they're better off than even those three pets. They didn't know about The Incredible Journey, or they didn't know about Homeward Bound. I'm just going to throw that out there to you. The disciples had not seen Homeward Bound. They didn't have that example to go on. But he's basically saying the same thing. He's telling the disciples, look, you know the way. You have a direction. There is something that has been set before you that you can follow. Now, you know, we don't have to face dangers in life alone. We don't have to face the struggles. We have one who does not merely show us the way. He is the way. And Jesus said that in those words, in that response to Thomas, because Thomas, being the ever so doubtful one, we know the story of Thomas saying, I will only believe if I can see the wounds, right? Well, if we look back here at John chapter 14, I find it interesting that Thomas, before all of that, was the doubter. Because it's Thomas who is the one that speaks up and says, but Lord, how do we know the way? But who does that sound like today? Does it sound like you? Does it sound like me? Does it sound like us as we come to situations where we think that we can't get through it? Does it sound like the way we approach circumstances today? Maybe it's the loss of a spouse and the first thing out of her mouth, how am I going to make it through this? Or we lose a saint like Mr. Jim Heaton. And immediately we respond that way as a church. How's the church going to survive? Or maybe it's the resignation of a pastor. Or maybe it's just a circumstance that is beyond our control. Whatever it might be. You know, how am I going to get through this? How are we going to do this? How are we collectively going to make it? Well, let's see. Jesus told the disciples, you know the way. We know the way. I know the way. The way is followed up after Thomas responds and says, but how do we know the way? Jesus says, what? I am the way. Not only is Jesus sitting here, and as we look at this and we talk about the path to the cross, one thing I want us to understand is that we need to walk with the way. That's why I said it that way. I didn't say walk in the way. I didn't say walk trying to find the way. I didn't say anything other than walk with the way. That's why I titled it that way, because I want us to understand that when we walk with the way, Jesus is the way. It's not about us finding a way on our own. It's not about us as a group trying to sit down and draw up a map. You know, I mean, if you think about the way that maps work, somebody somewhere had to drive a road and then draw it out, right? And eventually they were able to maybe get pictures from a higher. I just wonder how those first maps looked. I mean, it's honestly why they thought the world was flat. Because what's in front of you is relatively flat. Gravity holds things down. So until they were able to get to space and actually take a look for sure, I mean, the world had to be flat, right? Because, I mean, where can things go? But until you get up and you can actually tell and see it with your own eyes, you know, no, I don't think the world's flat. I'm just going to throw that out there. There's too many things, evidence, that tell you it's not. But the reality of it is that is why they did think that, and why maps look differently from then to now. Why Columbus actually thought he had gotten to where he wanted to go, when in reality, all he did was end up on this side of the world. But maps have to be charted. They have to be drawn out somehow. It comes from someone's experience. But Jesus is saying, look, you don't need the map. You don't need any of those things. You don't need the GPS. You just need me, because I am the way. I am your way home. Plain and simple. See, as we listen to the words that he speaks to the disciples, he speaks those to us as well. And we learn three things: that he, Jesus, number one, is the way home. Number two, he is the only way home. And number three, he is the only way to our Father's home. Now, if we put those three together, I want to break it down in those ways this morning. Number one, Jesus is the way home. Jesus is the way home. You know, if we look back at that movie, Homeward Bound, those pets had a strong desire to get back to what they called home, right? But in reality, is that much different than us? I mean, every day we strive through the day to do what? Get home. I mean, how do I know this? Well, we have a strong desire to be home. Blake, when you were overseas, what was the one thing that really kept you going? The fact that what? You get to come home? Eventually, when it was over, you were coming home, right? And you knew that. It was a goal. It was an afterthought. It was an afterthought. Right. But why? Because eventually you wanted to be able to make it back home, right? And see, I mean, we worry about every little aspect we do in life. When we're driving down the road and that car pulls out in front of us, we slam on the brakes. Why? Because we want to give ourselves every opportunity to get back home. Now, I'm not saying necessarily, you know, I might be putting words in somebody's mouth. I may put words in Blake's mouth with that. But here's the thing. What are some signs that we see hanging around? What's some things that people say constantly? Home sweet home. Home is where the heart is. I can go through all of these little things. The reality is, you know, the end of The Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy misses the balloon, what is it? You tap your heels together and say what? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. See, we want to be home for the holidays. We want to be home for special events. We want to get there because we remember growing up at home. Home is where we felt the safest. Home is where we felt more like ourselves than anywhere else. And we get confused with it throughout the day. We get confused with it in today's time because we don't know where home is. Yes, there are some who would rather be nomads and wander around the world and things of that nature. But the reality of it is you still enjoy coming home. No matter how many miles your travels may take you, you find your way home. Just as that story was, we desire to be home, even though we know that our homes are not always as great as we might imagine. Even though we know that maybe we remember something a little differently than what we remember or what we end up experiencing. Because let me just be real for a moment. What are some things that can happen at home that maybe aren't great? Arguments. I mean, we argue with people, right? Sometimes more than we care to admit. Hurt feelings can happen at home. I mean, when you're living with somebody, when you're spending a lot of time with somebody, inevitably they're going to hurt your feelings at some point, right? Or maybe just disappointments. Maybe you are disappointed in how a child reacted or how your parent treated you in a certain situation or just how a simple situation ended up. See, home isn't always the happiest of places. But Jesus talks about a home that is free from those things. Jesus talks about a home that is free from the trouble. And he says this, he says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, is how it's translated in the New King James. Other translations are rooms. Does it matter if it's rooms, mansions, whatever? No, what it matters is that Jesus is saying there's a home and it's my Father's house. And then he eventually tells you how to get there. Because he says he is speaking about heaven. In heaven, in Revelation 21:4, we looked at it one time during our Christ return. It says there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So when we look at heaven, when we think of heaven, when we think about that opportunity, we realize that there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Revelation 7:16-17 says, never again will we hunger. Never again will we thirst. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. I mean, sounds like a pretty beautiful place, doesn't it? Sounds like a wonderful opportunity for us. And what is more, God has created all of us with a desire to reach that home. That desire is deeper than any animal instinct. Our life is wrapped up solely in trying to get home. Because see, how many times have we heard that we're just a sojourner, that we're just a traveler, we're a wanderer, we're just living in this world trying to get where? Home. Because heaven is the home for Christians. Heaven is home. Our life, our very beating, our very hearts beating, our very being, our very livelihood, everything about who we are craves to be home. It craves to be where our Father is. It craves to be where our loved ones are. It craves to be in that circumstance, that opportunity, because home is where the heart is. Home is where our heart wants to be. Home is where we strive for. Psalm 42 tells us this, as the deer, I mean, the psalmist got it right. Let me just say this. These words are some of the most powerful scripture. If you think about it and you think about what the true meaning behind what the psalmist says here, Our lives crave that communion with God. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now, the reason I think the psalmist got it right, I mean, you've seen an animal that is striving to get food, right? You've seen an animal that's striving for that opportunity. Well, it's basically right here for us. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs to be with God. My soul longs for that. Your soul longs for that. We all have a longing, a deep within us desire to be with God. But there's a problem about finding our way home, a bigger problem than mountains and rivers and wild animals, a bigger problem than anything that we could ever think of. That problem is sin. Sin has changed us. Sin has separated us. Sin has divided us. And our sin takes the desire to be with God and it corrupts it into a desire to be like God. See, sin has caused us to take that desire to be with God and to corrupt it into a desire to be like God. Now, we are created in His image. Scripture tells us that. But it doesn't tell us that we are God. But too many times we have decided that it is in our court, that the ball was put in our court to change our path. That we've decided that we're the ones with the opportunity to make life what we think it should be, when the reality is that God never said that was how life would work. See, the irony is the same sin that makes us totally unlike God. It makes us totally powerless to find a way to heaven. It makes us totally blind to the one and only way. The biggest obstacle between us and heaven is our own sinfulness. The biggest obstacle that keeps us from realizing this opportunity is our own sinfulness. It's our own sinful life. By nature, we do not have the power, the desire, the strength, or the ability to believe in Jesus or come to Him. Let's be honest right now. I mean, we've talked about this a number of times. Romans takes us down that road through the words of Paul. Revelation is going to take us down that road in some ways. The entirety of Scripture takes us down that road. And what we're realizing here is what Jesus is saying is, you know the way because I am the way. I am the only way. Right? The second thing I want to look at real quickly is that Jesus clearly tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's the exact opposite of what our sinful nature and our sinful self wants to hear. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That is the exact opposite thing of what you and I in our sin want to hear. Because what we think, what we see, if Jesus is the only way, that robs us of any credit. It robs us of any opportunity to say, I did this, I did that, right? If Jesus is the only way, then it was nothing I did that got me there. If Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, then nothing I have is by any means that I accomplished. Too many times we're so wrapped up in our own personal gains that we lose sight. See, this is where sin corrupts. This is where sin becomes not only a separation from God, but now an opportunity for us to assume that we are our own God and we created our own circumstances. We created our own opportunities. See, Jesus being the only way robs us of any credit in getting there. It puts you and I in the same class as everyone else. We have the same chance of finding our own way to heaven. Bear with me for a moment. As Hitler and Saddam Hussein, human traffickers. Now, I know that's a hard thing to hear, but that's reality, folks. We are put in that same category when we realize what our sin does to us. Sin separates us from God. You see, it rubs us wrong to hear those names thrown into the same category as us. It rubs us the wrong way. It makes us think, I am not that bad. Right, you're not. Maybe you aren't. We want to think that we are naturally better than those kind of people. I mean, are we? Are we really better than those people? Because the reality of it is here, without Jesus, you and I have about as much chance of being in heaven as the worst unbeliever does. No matter what we have in life, no matter what we face in circumstance, the reality of it is without Christ, we have about as much chance of getting there as the worst atheist, as the worst unbeliever, as the worst sinner that we know of. See, our sin is just as bad. Our sin separates us because Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He doesn't say that he shows us the way. He says, I am the way. If Christ were just simply showing us the way to heaven, it would be up to us to find the steps to get us there. If Christ were just simply showing us the way to heaven, we would have to decide our way to go. And then in our inner hearts, we could think that we were better than someone else because we got there a better way. But see, Jesus also told us that there is only one way. There is only one gate that many will try to enter, but only one way will find you, the Father. Jesus saying, I am the way. He is the one who grabs us when we are running the other way. Jesus saying, I am the way. He is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit through baptism. He's the one who gives us the word to turn us around by giving us new hearts. He is the one who carved the way through the mountain of our sin. You know, in the 1800s, when they were developing the railroad across the Rocky Mountains, people lost their lives because they had to blow parts of the rock apart. Divide up. People lost their lives while trying to build a road, build a way to get from one way to another. See, Jesus had to give his own life to become the way. Jesus had to die so that we could have life. Jesus was mocked. He was beaten. He was scorned. He was crushed. And why? Because his soul finally bore the weight of our sin. It bore the full weight, not just part of it. It bore the full weight of our sinful mountain. And then he, on the cross, cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried those words out to God, and he sacrificed himself for us. See, reality is, Jesus lived a sinless life. And then took the sin of the world and went to the cross, becoming the way for us to find life. Did he succeed? Yes, he succeeded. And you can be sure of it because he's also the truth and the life, because he is the truth and he overcame death, making him the life. You see, he didn't just get out there. The fact that he rose from the dead proves that he is life. Because death could not hold him. Death couldn't keep him down. Death had no bearing on him. We all recognize what a one-way sign is. And Jesus is basically that one-way sign for us to the cross. To the sacrifice that he gave. To the Father. Jesus, through that. I mean, we see the cross every week, right? See, this is why it's a path to the cross. So not only is Jesus the only way, not only is Jesus the only way home, not only is Jesus the only way for us to get where we think we need to go. See, through faith in Jesus, we have opportunity to be where he is. Because Jesus tells us that he is the only way to our Father's home. He's the only way to that final destination that we all want to be at. It brings us back to why heaven is such a wonderful place for us as believers. It's not simply that we will be free from the troubles of this life, because we will see the loved ones whom have passed before. We have a hope in heaven that is greater than anything we could ever imagine on this earth. But I want to just, that's all well and good. We have a place that sin doesn't exist anymore. We have a place where life is perfect. We have a place with our loved ones. But I just want to throw this out there real quickly, and we'll wrap things up here. Heaven, the greatest thing that heaven offers us is plain and simple. It is the home of God. The greatest thing that we have offered to us in heaven is this. It means that our brother, the one and only Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be there to spend eternity with us. If that's not greater than anything else that we can imagine on this earth, then I don't know what makes your spirit like just feel warm today. I don't know what gets your spirit going, but that gets mine going. The fact that heaven not only holds the opportunity for me to have a painless life, a painless existence, not only does it have that opportunity for me, it also is the home of the Father, the Creator, the one who gave me life. And it is the home of the one who gave his life for me so that I can be there with him for eternity. The home of the one who chose me when I was running away. The home of the one who took me in, pulled me under his wing, and gave me an opportunity to be here this morning sharing his word, living a life hopefully to get me there. And the same for each one of us here today. See, Jesus didn't say walk in the way. Jesus didn't say walk by the way. Jesus didn't say walk to the way. He said walk with the way. I am the way. Walk with me. Have a relationship with me. Let me lead you while you walk with me. Don't just come and let me show you a path that you might or might not follow the right road on. Too many times we are getting so wrapped up and we compare it to a map and that roads go off, but roads come back. And yes, they do. But there's only one road that the way is on. There's only one road that leads you to that redemption today, and that road is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, here's the thing. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Think of that. You'll be with the one who loves you so much that he gave himself up on a cross. You will be with him, and he sacrificed himself to take away the mountain of your sins. He gave his life for you. The way to the Father. Jesus is the way home. Jesus is the only way home. And he is the only way to the Father's house. He is the only way to the Father's house. Being with our Savior is what makes heaven so wonderful. See, the psalmist said it in Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. When we come to that realization in our lives today, then we realize everything we need to know about who God is in our lives. Heaven, what does heaven hold besides God? What is better in heaven than anything other than God the Father? I mean, he's the one who created all of this. But what on earth could make us want it more than that opportunity to be with him in heaven? See, when we get our priorities straight, when we begin to walk with the way and stop living in the world, stop buying into the things of the world, stop allowing things in the world to let our selfishness take hold, then we're going to see something great. Because we no longer live in the world. We're no longer of the world. We no longer feel at home in this world. We just realize that the life that we live is now striving to get us to our home. Do you want to be home today? If you have a decision to make, then make it. Home is where God is. That is our home. And Jesus is the way home. He's the only way home. He's the only way to our Father's house. Today we have that opportunity. So as we close things out this morning, I just simply encourage you with this. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus.